Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 29, 2023. Joel.
All right, and one announcement. There is a teachers' meeting tonight after class to discuss the next lesson. Teachers' meeting tonight after class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. The book on the day of the Lord. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And Heavenly Father, as we see the wheels coming off the wagon, as we witness the apostasy and the degeneracy of Client Nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we realize this is a spiritual problem and it demands a spiritual solution. And we thank you that that solution is found in you, sir, and in your word. And we thank you that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey had the article this last Sunday was, Why Help the Ukraine? Well, the number one reason is not the reason that the leadership of this nation recognizes. The number one reason is because Ukraine has a large pivot of spiritually mature believers there. And you are more enlightened about that than the administration that's running this country. There are a lot of spiritually mature believers, and I know many of you are praying for them every single day that they will be channels of God's grace and tools in God's hand to proclaim establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth, and they are doing that. Many men in the military in the Ukraine have been witnessed to by this pivot of mature believers, and many of them have believed in Christ, and when they have a chance, they assemble in these sound doctrinal churches that are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And that is absolutely fantastic. And I know you keep praying for them that God will put a wall of fire around them and protect them. And he's been doing that. When Russia massed all their forces on the border of Ukraine, well, President Biden and leaders all over the world expected them to be destroyed, run over in days or weeks. They weren't destroyed and run over in days and weeks. They're still there. And that is a part of the wall of fire that Jesus Christ has given to them and strengthened them. It's a modern day miracle that Russia hasn't totally destroyed the Ukraine and taken it over. Keep on keeping on. Keep on praying for them. Well, Hal Lindsey, I don't know if he knows anything about that pivot in the Ukraine. Why help the Ukraine? He looks at it from a different viewpoint. With the murder of yet another perceived rival in Russia, Vladimir Putin has again proven that he belongs among the ranks of history's most evil men. But it should be noted that none of the others on that list had the world's largest nuclear arsenal just a button away. On August 8, 2008, Russia invaded Georgia. Not in America. Russia invaded Georgia. There were the usual press statements from various nations condemning Russia, but there was no action. In the United States, George W. Bush was in the last days of his presidency while dealing with the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And instead of getting tough with the Russian aggressor, the Obama administration, and that is one of the worst presidents we have ever had in this nation, entered office a few months later calling for appeasement. His way of dealing with Russia was appeasement. Appeasement is the devil's own strategy. Horrible, evil, satanic. Putin's aggression therefore received the world's approval through appeasement. It's okay. And Putin never forgot it. Russia supported Bashar al-Assad in the Syrian civil war, heavily contributing to the violent catastrophe there. More than a 500,000 people were slaughtered. 13 million were displaced from their homes, with half of those having to leave for other countries. In early 2014, Russia invaded Ukraine's Crimea Peninsula, and then they annexed it. Despite previous U.S. promises to protect Ukrainian sovereignty, the Obama administration refused to provide support. But Obama's appeasement of Russia kept him from even sending the kind of weapons that Ukraine needed. That failure made future aggression by Putin inevitable. Even with a huge Russian invasion force amassed on Ukraine's border, President Joe Biden continued his former boss's Obama policy of giving very limited military aid to Ukraine. And when Russia invaded, he and the other leaders in the world expected Ukraine to be destroyed quickly. But instead, something amazing happened. The world doesn't understand. They don't understand that God vindicates the word and the souls of pivot, of mature believers. They don't understand the wall of fire around those spiritually mature believers. They can't explain why Ukraine is still here. Something amazing happened. The Ukrainians did not fall over. They stood up against what some believe to be the second most powerful military on earth. Their bravery, their selfless determination while confronting such an overwhelming force stunned the world. Faced with Russia's ugly, unprovoked invasion and the Ukraine's amazing response, the U.S. and Europe finally began to send real help. But now guess what we got going on in America? Now the liberals are saying, stop the support of Ukraine and help Maui. Actually, the Ukraine's got a lot more going for it than Hawaii does. That's one of the most liberal states in the Union. Now, there's nothing wrong with sending some help to Maui. Of course, we want to help our own people. And without a doubt, we need to secure our own border and stop letting people just run over the border. But at the same time, we must also stand with the people of Ukraine. Doing so makes the world safer for ourselves and for future generations. The Ukrainians are doing something strong and heroic. Now, we can't send troops in because that would lead to nuclear war. But we don't need to send troops. The Ukrainians are already doing a great job. We just need to hang in there with them and help them finish it. Russia and its primary ally, China, have shown that they will be as aggressive as they are allowed to be. Appeasement never works. That is satanic and evil. Appeasement never works. If we don't stop them in the Ukraine, we'll have to stop them somewhere else. Probably here. And if the confrontation involves any NATO nation, we will find global thermonuclear war staring us in the face. All right. Joel chapter 2. Verse 13. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And tear your heart, and not your garments, and turn back to the Lord your God. That is, repent. A change of thinking. Because He, the Lord your God, He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, mercy. And He, the Lord your God, repents. But this is the anthropopathism for repentance, because God never repents. This is the anthropopathism describing the function of the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God, which never, ever changes. And He, the Lord your God, repents. The function of His holiness, His integrity, anthropopathism, from sending divine judgment. Now in Joel chapter 2, verse 13, there are five reasons that are given why the people should be motivated to repent. Reason number one, because He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is gracious. That word gracious is the adjective kanun. It is only used as an attribute of God. The only way it's used. The living and true God is a God of grace. And grace is the plan of God, and grace is the policy of God. Grace emphasizes who and what God is, not who and what we are. And that adjective, kanun, comes from the verb kanan, to be gracious. And it's related to the noun kain, which is the Hebrew word for grace. And there's no verb, which makes this all very, very emphatic. Literally it says, because He gracious. And then reason number two, and compassionate. And this is the adjective rakum, which comes from the verb rakam, which means to have compassion or to be compassionate. So literally it says, because He, the Lord your God, gracious and compassionate. Reason number three, slow to anger. Now, we understand anger. But this is the anger of God, and once again we have an anthropopathism. The anger of God is an anthropopathism describing the holiness of God, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. The anger of God speaks of the function of the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. Slow to anger relates the holiness of God to the grace and compassion of God. God deals with us in grace and compassion and kindness and tenderness and mercy and cleansing. You see, the Lord your God desires to see you succeed. He wants to see you become a winner believer. He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and become winner believers through His matchless grace. That's what God desires. God is slow to anger. Reason number four, and abounding in loving kindness, mercy. This is the noun kesev, which means loving kindness, grace, mercy. Mercy is grace in action. The Lord is abounding in loving kindness, grace, and mercy. And tear your heart and not your garments, and turn back to the Lord your God. Repent, because He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and mercy. God's graciousness is the foundation of His compassion. And because of His compassion, He is slow to anger. And since God is slow to anger, this manifests itself in abundant loving kindness toward His people. Mercy, grace in action. And the nation Israel's history is punctuated with God's grace and compassion and slow to anger and abounding loving kindness and mercy. Reason number five, and He repents of sending divine judgment. And at that point, I asked a question. And the question is, does the living and true God, does He repent? Does God change His mind? And the verb for repent here is nakam. N-A-C-H-A-M, nakam. That is the main word in the Hebrew to repent. Now, when nakam has man as the subject, it means to change one's thinking. To change one's thinking from wrong thinking, from arrogant thinking, to humility, to divine viewpoint, to God's thinking. However, when nakam has God as the subject, it is an anthropopathism. And an anthropopathism is a human characteristic ascribed to God, which he does not actually possess. But it helps to explain divine policy and the function of divine essence in terms of human frame of reference. God has never, ever repented. And I gave you the passages on that. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie. God has never lied either. Never repented, never lied. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. And the word is our very same word we have, nakam. Nor a man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? So Numbers 23:19, God never repents. And then we looked at 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or repent. He does not change His mind. And the word there is our word again, nakam. He who is the glory of Israel, the living and true God, does not lie. He does not not come. He does not repent. He does not change his mind. For he is not a man that he should not come, repent, or change his mind. God has never repented. This is an anthropopathism. It's a human characteristic ascribed to God, which he does not actually possess. So in Joel 2:13, our passage, Nakam is an anthropopathism to describe the function of the essence of God toward man. It describes the function of the holiness of God or the integrity of God. It describes the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of the living and true God. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And that never changes. God's righteousness never changes. He doesn't change his righteousness. He doesn't change his justice. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always absolute righteousness. He's always perfect justice. And what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes every single time. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. Mankind's contact point with God is his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Also, God is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no variableness or change within him. Hebrews 13:8. 2 Timothy 2:13. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So God never changes his purpose or his mind when it comes to bringing judgment on sin, arrogance, apostasy, degeneracy. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. But God will change his action and withhold judgment when a person or a nation repents. When man changes his thinking. And that's the only hope for the United States of America. That flag, I love that flag. I love everything it stands for. I love America. I love America. The last song you heard, well, some of you never come and listen to the songs. I get here early because I like them all. I pick them. I love them. Great is thy faithfulness. You know where that comes from? Shock to you. The Bible. Comes from the Bible. Comes from the Word of God. And it comes from Jeremiah, one of the great teachers of the Word of God. And he watched his nation destroyed by the fifth cycle of national discipline. He stayed up on a hill and watched the Chaldeans destroy his nation. Destroy it. Jeremiah taught them doctrine. They didn't want Bible doctrine. They were involved in everything else, but they did not want Bible doctrine. In fact, they didn't want Jeremiah. And they wanted to kill Jeremiah. Jeremiah loved his nation. I love America. Jeremiah loved the southern kingdom. He loved it. But they never responded. The problem in the southern kingdom was they were in apostasy and degeneracy. The problem was a spiritual problem. And the only solution was a spiritual solution. And they didn't want it. They didn't want it. They were involved in trying to solve everything their way. And so here comes Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, and they totally destroyed Jerusalem, slaughtered the people. And when we get to Joel chapter 3, we'll see that not only were, while the Chaldeans were slaughtering the people in Jerusalem, old men, women, babies, the Edomites were there helping them. The Edomites are the sons of Esau, you know, Jacob and Esau. The Edomites were there helping the Chaldeans. And they are coming under great judgment when the second advent takes place and Jesus Christ comes back. Jeremiah said on that hill, he loved his nation. I love America. But God is holy. He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And frankly, if Jesus Christ were president, he would have to judge America, destroy America. So don't give me this, well, if we elect this president, he'll solve it. Bullshit! Bull Miano. No person's going to, no matter who's president, not going to solve the problem in this country. It's a spiritual problem, and the only hope we have is a spiritual solution. Just like Jeremiah. And he knew it. And the people didn't want it. And he sat up on a hill. And he watched the nation he loved destroyed. And what does he write? Great is thy faithfulness. That was the last hymn we heard tonight. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what Jeremiah, he's talking about how great God is. That he's a holy God. That he's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And he writes, as he watches his nation go out the fifth cycle of national discipline by the righteousness and justice of God, as we will by the righteousness and justice of God. How? Well, it could be any number of about 30 different ways. There are nations, evil nations all over the world that want to destroy us. It might be that way. We're destroying our, we have enemies from the outside, that's evil nations that want to destroy us. We have enemies on the inside. Criminals have taken over the United States of America. And we are helping them. Because we are attacking the law enforcement, the laws of divine establishment. And we are letting criminals destroy America from within. We're being destroyed from within by criminals. And then I went to my brother's birthday's coming up, and so I went to Total Wine to buy him a birthday present. As I'm checking out, the person checking me out had a Pride sticker on the shirt. I looked at that and just about threw up. That is so evil, degenerate, and that is the norm. And they hate Christians. They hate those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They hate those who believe the Bible is the absolute truth of the Word of God. We have become the enemy to them. But you see, God is holy. He's absolute righteousness, perfect justice. As I was sitting listening to that last song, "Great is thy faithfulness," I thought, how about Jeremiah? He loved his nation so much, and he watched it destroyed by the fifth cycle of discipline. And I love America so much, and I'm witnessing our nation destroying itself through the fifth cycle of national discipline. But God will withhold judgment when enough people or a nation repents, turns back to God, when they change their thinking, when unbelievers believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, when believers rebound and then go positive to Bible doctrine and have humility instead of arrogance and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. So verse 13, and tear your heart and not your garments, and turn back to the Lord your God. Repent. Change your thinking, because he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, mercy. And he repents. The anthropopathism of repentance, from sending divine judgment. Now Joel 2:14 starts out in the King James, who knoweth? Do you knoweth? What do we have up here? I don't want any interruptions.
Yes, sir. That'll do it.
Who knoweth? The interrogative pronoun me, plus the catalactic participle of the verb yada. The interrogative pronoun me means who. Me is who. Now I've given you this Hebrew paradigm a few times. I'll give it to you again. That's who. And who is he? And this is he, H long I all, and he is she. I know it. I get a kick out of this too. Who is he? He is she. Me, oh, I went. Me is who, and, of course, you don't want to miss this one, dog is fish. this has always been one of my, I majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek. I wanted to major in Hebrew because it, who, you look at that. What do you see? You see anything here to look like you've seen it before? No. Looks like a chicken walked around leaving prints everywhere. So who is he? He is she. Me is who. And dog is fish. And we have me, which is who. And then we have Yada, Y-A-D-A-I-N, Yada. Yada means to know, so this says, who knows? Who knows? And then we have, if he will return, and repent. That's not what it says, but that's what the King James has. We always start there, even as bad as it is. This is a cal imperfect of the verb shuv, plus the conjunction vav, prefix to the nifal participle of nacham. First of all, shuv. S-H long U-B, shuv. And a couple of points on this. First of all, shuv literally means to turn back or to turn or to turn back. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, on pages 997 and 998, points out that in our verse, Joel 2:14, it refers to Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, turning back from sending divine judgment. Shuv is followed by the nifal participle of nacham, once again, and that's the Hebrew verb to repent. Point two. So the question posed by Joel is, who knows when he, the Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will turn back and repent from sending divine judgment, anthropopathism? The question posed by Joel is, who knows when he, Jehovah, will turn back and repent from sending judgment? If you repent, he's saying, if you change your thinking, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you get out of your reversionism by rebound and then have positive volition and humility and consistently grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, why then the holiness of God will bless what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. But if you continue in your reversionism, then the justice of God judges what the righteousness of God rejects. So three, the near fulfillment of this is to the Jews in the southern kingdom of Judah in Joel's day. Joel says, when you repent, when you change your thinking, you unbelievers, when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, for eternal salvation, you believers in reversionism, when you change your thinking and rebound, and then have changed from arrogance to humility and negative volition to positive volition, and you start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, reversion, recovery. So the near fulfillment of this is to the Jews in the southern kingdom of Judah in Joel's day when they repent. For unbelievers, faith in Christ. For believers, reversion, recovery. Four, the far fulfillment of this is to the Jews in the tribulation. The far fulfillment of this is to the Jews in the tribulation when they realize that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, the one who their forefathers crucified. And so they repent. Salvation repentance and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the far fulfillment of this is to the Jews in the tribulation when they realize that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, the one that their forefathers crucified. And so they repent. Salvation, repentance, and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Five, verse 14 emphasizes the anthropopathism of repentance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 emphasizes the anthropopathism of the repentance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stops sending divine judgment. He stops the five cycles of national discipline. We're going through the five cycles of national discipline in America right now. Again, the near fulfillment to Jews in the southern kingdom in Joel's day when they repent. The far fulfillment to Jews in the Great Tribulation when they repent. 6. The Lord Jesus Christ at the Second Advent stops the divine judgment of Israel. He regathers them and he restores them as his client nation in the millennial kingdom. The remnant of believers at the second advent of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent stops the divine judgment of Israel, regathers them, and restores the remnant of believers as his client nation in the millennial kingdom. 7. Once again, this repentance of the Lord Jesus Christ is an anthropopathism for the function of the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, which is our contact point with God. And once again, what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. God's righteousness never changes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God always judges. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God always blesses. So the corrected translation, who knows when he, the Lord your God, will turn back and repent the function of the righteousness and justice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and leave a blessing behind him. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the hifil perfect of sha'ar plus the preposition acher with the third person singular masculine suffix plus the noun barakah. You know it as baraka. Do you know baraka is a Hebrew word? Well, here it is. It's actually barakah. There are a lot of people go to barakah church. The conjunction vav is a continuative vav, correctly translated and, is prefixed to the hifil perfect of the verb sha'ar. S-H-A-Aleph-A-R, sha'ar. Couple of things on sha'ar. One, in the Cal stem, sha'ar literally means to remain or to be left over. That's the Cal stem. In the Cal stem, it literally means to remain or to be left over. Two, however, in the hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to cause to remain or to leave. To cause to remain or to leave. Three, in Joel 2, verse 14, our verse, it means to leave a gift. To leave a gift. Four, God is caused, the Lord your God, Jesus Christ, is caused or motivated to leave a gift when a nation or a large group of individuals repent and turn back to God and his thinking, the Word of God. salvation, repentance of unbelievers, reversion, recovery, repentance of believers. God is caused or motivated to leave a gift when a nation or a large enough group of individuals repent and turn back to God and His Word, divine viewpoint thinking. This is salvation, repentance of unbelievers, reversion, recovery, repentance of believers. 5, the word for gift is barakah. B-Shava, R-A-C-A-H. Barakah. And barakah means blessing. Barakah means blessing. So God is the Lord your God, Jesus Christ, is caused or motivated to leave a blessing, a gift, a blessing, when the nation or a large enough group of individuals repent and turn back to God and His Word, which is His thinking. And then Acher, Aleph, A-C-H-A-R, Acher. And Acher means behind or after. Third person singular masculine suffix, him. 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord your God, is motivated by His infinite integrity, His infinite virtue, His infinite righteousness and justice, to leave behind blessings, blessings to that nation and individuals who repent, who change their thinking from arrogance to humility, from negative volition to positive volition, who change their thinking, unbelievers and believe in Christ, who change their thinking, reversionistic believers and reversion recovery, rebound, and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. And what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. 7, God takes away divine judgment from the ones who repent, from the ones who change their thinking about Jesus Christ and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and change in reversion recovery from arrogance to humility, from negative volition to positive volition to Bible doctrine. So you see, this is what a great verse. Who knows when He, the Lord Jesus Christ, will turn back and repent anthropopathism for the function of His absolute righteousness and perfect justice and leave blessings behind Him. And leave blessings behind Him. 1, by interpretation, in Joel's day, the repentance of the people would result in stopping the 5 cycles of national discipline. By interpretation, in Joel's day, the repentance of the people would result in stopping the 5 cycles of national discipline and the Lord restoring the agricultural economy. All of the grains would be back. The vineyards would be back. All the ones that the Lord had destroyed and the fourth cycle of national discipline would be restored by him. So by interpretation in Joel's day, the repentance of the people would result in stopping the five cycles of national discipline and result in the Lord restoring their economic prosperity. The grains in the vineyard would be that had been destroyed under the fourth cycle of discipline will be restored. Two, as a result, the believers would celebrate the Lord's deliverance by worshiping him with gift offerings, the minka, and drink offerings, the nesek. The minka, the gift offerings, taught about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The drink offerings, the nesek, taught about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you realize right here we have the key to the communion service? And by the way, this Sunday is the communion service. And that communion service is represented through the minka, the gift offering, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the nesek, the drink offering, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what we concentrate on in the communion service. Three, prophetically, this looks forward to the second advent of Jesus Christ. Prophetically, this looks forward to the second advent of Jesus Christ. Four, the second advent of Jesus Christ is followed by the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth, which is a 1,000-year celebration. A 1,000-year celebration. The millennial reign of Christ on the earth. So, corrected translation. Who knows when he, the Lord your God, Jesus Christ, will return and repent. Anthropopathism for the function of the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and leave a blessing behind him. And leave a blessing behind him. And now we have the blessing. A meat offering. This is the King James again. A meat offering and a drink offering. It's a minka and a nesek unto the Lord your God. Well, this is the noun minka plus the conjunction vav prefix to the noun nesek plus the preposition lamath with the definite article prefixed to the tetragrammaton, plus the noun Elohim with the second person plural masculine suffix. Minka vav nesek. That's what we have here. Minka vav nesek. There you got it. That's there it is, right in the from the Hebrew text. Minka. And then we have Vav Nesek. Minka Vav Nesek. A gift offering and a drink offering. The preposition lama means two or four, the tetragrammaton. The holiest name for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has here Jesus Christ is Jehovah, the Lord, and then we have the Lord, and then Elohim. Aleph, E-L-O-H, long I-M, Elohim. Elohim with the second person plural masculine suffix, your God, a gift offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So verse 14, who knows when he, the Lord your God, will turn back and repent the function of the integrity of Jesus Christ, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and leave a blessing behind him, a gift offering and a drink offering. Now this is great economic prosperity because there has been repentance. They have turned back to God and his word. So he's restored their economy, restored their agriculture. Now there's the ability to have gift offerings and drink offerings presented to the Lord your God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is, same thing can happen to America. Now, in Joel's day, they did turn back. Joel was a contemporary of Isaiah, and in Joel's day and Isaiah's day, they did turn back. God stopped the five cycles of national discipline. They were delivered. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed 185,000 Assyrians in one night, and they all left and went home. They were delivered. It was a spiritual problem, had a spiritual solution. In Jeremiah's day, they never turned back. They never repented. They never changed their thinking. They kept on. And they died. They went out the fifth cycle of national discipline, and the southern kingdom was destroyed. Most of the people were slaughtered. The survivors went on a death march to Babylon. And Jeremiah, who loved his nation, is sitting on a hill. And what does he write about? Great is thy faithfulness. And I want you to think about that. If the United States of America is removed as a client nation to God, great is thy faithfulness. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God does not repent. The ones who need to repent in America are the people in America. Unbelievers, repent and believe in Christ as their Savior. Believers in reversionism, repent through rebound and reversion recovery, positive volition, humility, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That's the only hope. That's the only hope for America. And I love America. I love America as much as Jeremiah loved the Southern Kingdom. Every time I look at that flag, it just, it's fantastic. And there are so many visible heroes in this nation who have gone to war and defeated the enemy in battle. And many of them gave the supreme sacrifice so we could have the freedom we have in America. And what are we doing with the freedom that they purchased for us? We're destroying our nation with that freedom. And the only hope is to turn back, repent, turn back to God and His Word. Father, we thank You for Your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Teachers' meeting.